Good morning, everyone. As we sing the songs and reading the scriptures, I think they all are very clear. They all send very clear message to us. The songs that we have seen, we've sung, we know that Jesus become flesh for us because he loves us. And we know the what we actually are more the most grateful of is because this God sent his only son to us. To become and to live among us. And when Jesus was born, what form was he born in? I'll say this again. What form did Jesus was Jesus being shown on earth? He was not born. As he was not being born in the form of God. Thought it's not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Jesus took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus was made in the likeness of man and found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Even death of the cross. Now the salvation was prepared for us through all eternity, so that we who are about to perish and die has been spared the penal law of eternal death. And you think about this, Jesus is destined to come save us way before the time was formed. Because of Jesus Christ, we have been saved from death. We who are sinners are supposed to die by our sins. We've been saved by Jesus when Jesus sacrificed himself. When Jesus sacrificed himself, he has complete the mission. And so that we, the sinners, are saved by him, by his sacrifice. Now, many people, including the new believers, still do not understand why God has paid such a great price to save our sins, to save the sinners. So some may ask, hey, what, you know, why do we, I was a good person before I became believers. I should be okay, right? But remember what Jesus said. Jesus came to seek the sinners and lost, and those who are lost. But why? So you may wonder, why did God send his only son to save us? And secondly, why is God wanting to save sinners like us? And why did Jesus had to pay the price of death to save us sinners? So today we'll talk about it. All for love. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, All glories go to you. We know that you are within us right now. You are among us. And we know that at this moment, you are looking at us in the heaven. Please allow us to live for you. Please allow us to come to your house and be that we are humble and we bow to you to humble ourselves. Please allow us to understand your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number one, the incarnation is for love. I think this scripture is probably the most familiar to all of us. It's John chapter 3, verse 16, 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, brothers and sisters, why did God allow his only begotten Son to become flesh and to live among us, to be like a human being, and to bear the sins of others, to go to the cross willingly and to shed his blood? We know the answer. The answer is the purpose is that so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But why did God do this? Why did God do this? Why does God want us to have eternal life? I think there's only one reason. That is because God loves us. God loves us. And then someone might ask, why does God love us? So why does God love us? How do we answer that? So is this love a dispensable love? Is it absolutely necessity? It's an absolute necessity. What does God filter the believers? Can anyone be saved? Before we answer this question, let's look at a scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Is love. So, brother and sisters, does love matter? John tells us love is very important. Why? For God is love. So the God that we believe in is love. Can man live without love? No, absolutely no. Otherwise, you would not be a person of God. For God is love, again. So if you're seeking true love, then you must be connected to God. Because a person without love is a person without God. And I think that is critical. A person without love, because a person without love is a person without God. So since love is so important, some might ask again, is there true love in this world? If not, then when God created Adam, did he create a man without love? So now, if there is true love in the world, what is the standard for defining this true love? If we read the Bible carefully, we will find that when God created Adam, Adam was created as a human being in the image of God. So he must have God, love, nature. But when Adam chose to forsake God in Eden, he chose to forsake love. What is the end of forsaking love? Once a person forsakes love, hatred inevitably arises. Because the opposite of love is hate. So no one without God cannot help hating God. So once a person is distanced to love, there will be hate. So for those who does not have love, they hate God. Because no one without God will hate God. God is the essence of love. God is love, and those who do not love are those who has nothing to do with God. Now, unless we receive the love poured out by the Holy Spirit through Jesus, the mediator, human beings are not only godless, but also stand in the opposition of God. So unless we receive the love by Jesus, we are against God. We are standing in the opposition of God to God. Because the essence of God is love, and God is love. This phrase only appears in the Bible, in Christian Bible. No religion has ever spoken of this except in this Bible. There's no other religion ever spoken of God is love. And there are some religions that don't even believe that God is a person, such as Buddhism. And there are some religions that picture God as a There are religions that acknowledge God is the God of mercy, but they do not recognize God is a God of love. Now, the Muslim Islam believes that God is merciful and gracious. He is a gracious and merciful one, but he's not the essence of love. The phrase "God is love" appears only in Bible, and it comes from the mouth of the only one, the Apostle John. So when you hear a Muslim greeting each other, what they're saying is, they say, "God bless you." So God is love. And God is love only appear in the Christian Bible. God is love is different than God has love. These two are two different, has contains two different meanings. The Bible tells us that God is love. Is Jesus Christ also in the flesh of love? Let's read. The Bible further says, the incarnation, that is the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, into flesh. This word, when the Bible says word become flesh, the word refers to Jesus himself. Jesus 1, chapter 1, verse 1 says that the word is God, that is Jesus is God. So God loved the world and sent his only begotten Son to us, Jesus, to earth, and to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, so that the Son of God might become the likeness of the Son of Man and reveal God to us in the world. Because we keep saying, we don't see God, and so now God let Jesus become flesh. So why did Jesus become flesh and live among us? We can find this answer in the Bible. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." We've all gone astray like sheep, and we have turned our ways, and the God has laid the sins of us all upon him. So Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life. Because all children are flesh and blood, Jesus also took flesh and blood in order to experience death firsthand. So Jesus used his death to destroy the devil who holds the power of death. And then Jesus then later overcame the power of death through the resurrection. That's how Jesus beat the power of death. So Jesus was full divinity, holy. He has also a full humanity, except that he has not sinned. The true Jesus people may know and believe in God. The death of the Lord Jesus was the result of obedience to God, God's will, and the death of sinner on the cross. So when you read the Bible, you know why God is trying to save us. So how did Jesus die? Jesus died because he follows God's will. That's Jesus died because he died for us who sinned. But on the third day, he rose from the dead to fulfill God's work of redemption, so that those who believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So why did Jesus do all of this? Because Jesus loves us. It's because of love. It was by love that the only begotten Son of God came into flesh. It is by love that the shepherd hears the angelic song. It is by love that the Holy Child is quietly born in a manger. It was by love that God gave the only Son to the world. It is by love that God's eternal light illuminates the world of darkness. And because of love, he was scourged and revealed with thorns on his head. It was by love that he took up the cross and went to Golgotha. It was by love that he gives the truth and the Holy Spirit to teach all. And by love, it is by love that we do not have the orphan. We do not leave the orphan and are always with us. So out of love, before he went to cross, Jesus told his disciple, "Love one another as I have loved you. That's my command. I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another." And all of these are for love. So if we do not have a heart, if we do not love each other, we're not qualified to be called the disciples of Jesus Christ. That's a first part of the sermon. The incarnation is for love. Part two, sacrificing his life show his love. Brothers and sisters, how do you know what a true love is? How could you tell? You say, "Oh, that should be easy. I see those couple, they're happily married and they love each other. Isn't that love?" If you have forgotten an enemy and now become good friend, isn't that love? I truly revolt and do not agree do not believe that other religions other than Christian has true love. So how do you know we have true love? If you read 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, the Lord laid down his life for us, and from these we know that what love is. Let us lay down our lives for our brethren. So we should lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And that's what love is. I think it's hard to do on this, right? But if you don't do that, then how do you know it's the true love? This is an epoch-making verse that John wrote in his old age. This verse divides the history of mankind into two parts. The first is the time before John wrote this verse, but the time when mankind did not fully know love. And the second part, that it was only after this verse was written that mankind knew what love was. So let me say this again. The first part is the time. It's time before this verse was written by John. And it's the time that when mankind did not fully know love. The second part is that when mankind knew what love is, which is after this verse was written. So this verse can actually serve as a watershed moment in the epistemology of love. So we can say that this verse gives us some idea of what true love is. That we, if we lay down our lives for others, then that's true love. Our Lord Jesus has expressed to the world that what love is. And without love, mankind cannot prove his share of salvation on the cross. The cross is a manifestation of love. As John said, we don't know what love is, but it was the Father who sent his only son to lay down his life for us. The Lord is love. So what does the cross tell us? The cross show us the love. The cross is love. The old John said, to John, because God has sent his son so that we know what love is. If you look at Jesus' life, the whole life of Jesus, he spent his whole life showing us how love is. How Jesus has mercy on the needy, and how he casts out demons. He heals the sick. He resurrects the dead from the grave. What did Jesus So all of these are showing us that how Jesus loved us. So what did Jesus come to earth for? He came not for anything other than to seek salvation for the lost, to redeem those who were lost in sin by laying down his life. He came not for anything other than to seek for salvation for the lost. What is, and to redeem those who were lost. The cross is the highest expression of this love. And only here can we truly know love that is as strong as death. Now, of course, the cross is not only an expression of love, but also an expression of God's justice, holiness, man majesty. But the most fundamental expression of the cross is the love of the Lord. What does the cross really show us? So we who follow Jesus know what is love. We should know in our hearts that our new life, how our new life should be lived. Our new life is should be the life of love. So remember when you became Christian, you started learning what the new life should be. Your new life should be love. But as the believers grow older, and you may find that you some actually get lost, and the church is not united. The church is broke apart. At that time, those may wonder what is their new life. The new life is no longer that life that God wants us to be, because there was no love. And I can tell you, a new life is a life with of love. And on the other hand, if we have no love, then there is no real life at all. There are only two kinds of life in this world. One is a life of hate, the life full of hate. And the other one is the life of love. The people in Adam were full of hate. Paul said to the Titus, "Those who are dead in sins and trespasses hate others in their hearts. They hate each other. They hate one another." So Paul also said to the Colossians, "Sinners hate God in their hearts because of their sins." So Paul said, again, sinners hate God in their hearts because of their sins. So unless we see that sinners hate God in nature, we would not truly confess our sins to God. So the sinners, because of sin in their heart, they hate God. So if we don't have love in our hearts, we would never receive true love from the Lord. We have to have love in our heart to receive salvation from God. And sadly, more sadly, some that has keep saying they have love on their life, probably those are those who actually do not live like that. Love often think that it is indebted, and those who truly practice love have a heavy sense of love debt in their hearts and always feel that they owe the debt of others' love. You know, those who believe in Jesus, those who truly believe in Jesus, always think that they did not do enough, they did not love Jesus enough. That's why I say those who talk the gospels are those who are blessed. Because the more they listen to gospels, the more they spread the gospels, the more they realize they do not understand gospels totally. That's good. So we are blessed. We who have love always think that we do not love enough. Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that there's almost no true love in this world. And it could be true, though. And that's very terrifying. And I wonder if that's why we're killing each other right now. Like the wars, the invasion of countries. And that's why Jesus said he came to seek the lost and to love us. Jesus did not use weapons. Jesus' best weapon is love. You know, in the Old Testament, God sent Israelites to kill the original people in the Canaan. So does it really, it's different. So the Israelites are people and not as holy. It's not as holy as we think. Because if they have true love to God, would they have lost the countries? So why is the Israelites suffers so much drama, so much difficulties in generations? This actually was predicted by Moses in the Old Testament. They are the selected group of people. They are the selected people. Because God trains and God teaches those who he loves because they are his children. You may ask that why do we still so have so many wars within us? And what should we do? And what we should be grateful of is that among all these wars, we still have Jesus. We still have Jesus as our light and our love. Because his love is within us, is among us. Jesus Christ is the essence of love and the mediator of love. There is no love without Jesus. So if we are not connected to Jesus, we cannot know the true love. As we're getting closer to the end of the world, the truth will reveal itself more and more. And hatreds are getting more and more. I think as at the end of the world will become worse and worse until the time when there is zero love. That's hell. And that's hell. That's just like hell has no love. It's all hate. So why does When you're in heaven, heaven is eternal life. In hell, that's eternal hate. So when you think of this and you look around you, we know that the world is getting less and less love. And we're longing for love. You know, just God loves us. We know God loves us. We know our parents love us. Because we need, you know that we need love. So if you receive love from our Lord, when you receive love from our Lord, you need to spread the love. Just like how a car needs gas, is we need love. And when what is the mission of church? The earthly mission of the church is to glorify God. So the people who live on earth is we need to preach love with love. And our mission is to convey the love of Christ on the cross. Only love can edify. Our mission is to spread, to preach love by love. And without love, evangelism and testimony will be empty talk. So our mission on earth is to show love. Our mission on earth is to express love and spread the love among the hateful world. Without love, there is no mission. There's no ministry. There's not a real ministry without love. So I say we need to be careful. So, brothers and sisters, so we come to his house today, we need to understand why Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. Because he loves us, and God loves us, and And Jesus wants us to preach love. So why, and also why are we committing to serving? Why are we committed to serving God? It's all about love. Because we love God. We're committed to Him. And we live for Him with all our hearts. Because of our love for the church, we're committed to the Lord's church and are willing to serve all our lives. Because we love the truth, we are also committed to the truth we love. The words become flesh is for love, and the shedding of blood and sacrifice of life to show love is all for love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, because you shed your life, you shed your blood for us to show us how to love. Lord, a lot of time we did not do the right thing in the right moment. But because you love us, you have shown us your love. You have sacrificed yourself so that we can taste the true love. Our Lord, my Lord, we are grateful. Because of your blood, you have cleansed our sin. We want to be a testimony of your love. Please allow us to do that every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.